Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated and former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. This is a moment in time that will be remembered depending upon the events of The Undiscovered Country. That's Shakespeare for the future. What we have now is a meeting between the all-powerful General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, who for the first time in over 2 years leaves his secure compound in Beijing during the pandemic that his country is understood to have started in some fashion, to travel to Kazakhstan these hours. Kazakhstan is a neighboring country, troubled, former Soviet client state, rich in resources, very few people, and in play. And then on to Uzbekistan, a less than troubled country, agriculturally rich, and also rich in heritage, because the meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is not to take place in the capital, Tashkent, but in Samarkand, which is an ancient city-state identified with mathematics and science and learning thousands of years ago. This vast canvas that we call the Silk Road, that's a very modern concept. Before that, it was city-states at war or at peace across this vast area, now rich in resources, when and if it can be extracted and used for the prosperity of the people. Xi Jinping is leaving behind a troubled country, a severe drought, perhaps the worst ever. The climate change is upon them. They've cut back the electricity to plants, to the manufacturers in Guangdong and other coastal manufacturing hubs because the hydropower has dropped to that condition. At the same time, the property market, the word collapse is inadequate. Let's just say it no longer is realistic to imagine that property can recover anytime soon. And then we have the matter of the abuse of the Chinese people with surveillance techniques, punishing them for something called zero COVID, which obviously is a complete failure given the dip in productivity by the Chinese people. That Xi Jinping is going to be in Samarkand. I don't need to summarize Vladimir Putin and the kind of trouble he's in because of the setbacks in the battle space, but also because his country now, according to any outside critic, is watching its economy collapse to the point that it will not be able to recover till 2050, I'm told. It's that severe. The damage to the young people is that severe. The inability to get parts for their own aircraft is that severe. Mary, that's enough prelude to this meeting. What do we imagine they want to accomplish in this conversation?
I think the contours of Xi Jinping's ambitions are becoming clear. As we said in your prior segment, he declared a no-limits partnership with Vladimir Putin. He has a decent relationship with Iran. He's courting U.S. allies like Saudi Arabia in the Gulf and Brazil in South America and in other places. And his ambition is to displace the United States as the world superpower. To do that, he needs to secure resources, thus the energy supplies of Central Asia and Iran. He needs to ensure that he can focus on the threats from the free world and not have to worry about Vladimir Putin to his west. And so I think that this meeting is extremely significant. It means that we can't shut our eyes anymore to how these rogue nations cooperate to the resources that they're gathering and to their intentions. And, you know, we have tried to put together alliances in Asia, for instance, the Quad, India, Australia, Japan, United States, AUKUS, you know, Australia, the US, the UK. We have treaty commitments with Japan, with the Philippines. But, you know, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is the 2001 founded grouping that China organized, is starting to look like a counterweight to some of those alliances and commitments that the United States has, and we need to pay attention.
India is a member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. You've traveled Asia for many years for the Wall Street Journal and with the Secretary of State. India is a puzzle, Mary, because it has a foot certainly in democracy and the Western camp, and yet at the same time continues to entertain what you'd have to say are adversaries, though it is at loggerheads with the People's Republic of China. There are enough contradictions, I don't need to go on. What do we make of Prime Minister Modi's government at this point, attending Samarkand, but at the same time genuinely combating China in the Himalayas?
India is for India's interests. It acts in its own national interests, just as the Saudis do. And that's not always clear-cut, and doesn't always perfectly align with our interests. And so the challenge for Washington is to figure out how to incent Prime Minister Modi to do things that are in America's national interests and the free world's national interests. One of the problems that Modi has is that modern-day independent India was saddled with terrible founding ideals of British socialism, Nehruvian socialism, and it has kept the country in poverty for half a century and more. And so the room that Modi has for maneuver is somewhat limited by the fact that India is still a very poor country in many areas, and he wants things like cheap energy. And India has not imposed the kinds of domestic policies to free its incredibly entrepreneurial population to grow itself out of a developing world status. And so when he says, yeah, I don't like what Putin is doing in Ukraine, but we don't like, what Iran is doing and threatening Israel, but you know what? We still need Russian weapons and we want cheap energy from Iran. The response from the United States, if it were to be constructive, would be to say, we'll provide you with the energy, right, and let's sit down and let's talk about some military deals. No, you can't do the maintenance on the Soviet-era equipment. Why don't you let us do that?
Right.
And to really, approach India and try to meet the needs that India has where our interests overlap. That's the challenge that this current team in Washington faces.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor, Secretary of State. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.